الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين في آية وما أرسلناك إلا كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا وفي آية خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الواصل بالمكافي ولكن الواصل الذي إذا قطعت رحمه وصلها وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا أولا أدلكم ولا شيء فعلتموه تحاببتم أفسد السلام بينكم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we are blessed from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with countless ni'mats, bounties and favors that are showering upon us at all times. It's the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, the month of Rabiul Awal. Our attention is drawn towards the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that happens and it should not only be restricted to Rabiul Awal. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come to us as an example, as a supreme model for us throughout our lives, in all aspects of our life. That is why the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be live in our homes, in our businesses, in our families, when we associate with people. We should do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is the most supreme model that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. And every human being that comes on the face of the earth for his success, eternal success in this world and the hereafter, lies in following commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pattern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever we may be, whatever country, whatever age, whatever era, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the outstanding model for us in all aspects of our life. That is why we find that in the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they followed the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the minutest detail. Up to this extent that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu goes and seats himself to relieve himself without having the urge to relieve himself in the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had went. Imitation and following Rasulullah and emulating him right up to this extent. That is why they went, they reached such heights that nobody can reach. خَيْرُ أُمَّتِي قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ The best of my ummah, the people of my time and my era and my period, that is the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They became the criteria of iman. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا Allah Ta'ala says, if you bring iman, like how they had brought iman, like how you had brought iman, if any person brings iman like them, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا They are upon hidayat, they are upon guidance. Because they brought iman, and they established the deen, and they understood the deen, and they established it in their lives. And they followed the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnahs pertain to everything. This outer garb, the eating and drinking, the walking style, the buying and selling, the habits and inner feelings that we have are all the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, to a great extent we find those sunnahs that are apparent, those sunnahs that are external, found in the life of many Muslims. But there are some aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are very significant and important, yet we find them not in our lives. And that is those that pertain to his akhlaq. As far as the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ That definitely, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon a very sublime character, very sublime conduct. Your conduct is very sublime. And who is bearing witness to this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator himself. Every single trait and characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be it his hospitality, his humility, his simplicity, his forgiveness, and his generosity, every aspect of his life, or every trait, characteristic, and conduct of his life was perfect. Was perfect. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most outstanding model for humanity. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Verily there is for you in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an outstanding model for those people that have hope in Allah in the last day and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. In every aspect of our lives, externally, internally, as far as our dressing is concerned, as far as our ibadat is concerned, as far as our monetary dealings is concerned, financial transactions are concerned, as far as our akhlaq is concerned, all these aspects we find a supreme model is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I mentioned, every characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be it his hospitality, humility, simplicity, whatever aspect of life we take, we find is the supreme model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are four basic reasons why we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one is the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is most reliably and authentically preserved for us. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have all the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: his walking style, his eating, his living, his indoor life, his outdoor life, his buying and selling, his akhlaq. All of them are authentically recorded in the books of hadith. As the muhaddithin and those people that learn and teach hadith, they will tell you how much scrutiny had undergone as far as the narrators are concerned before the hadiths were taken. It is very easy to sit back and say, Ma'azallah, this hadith is not correct, this hadith is not reliable. The amount of effort that they had made, muhaddithin, and this was a divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the deen of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnahs are sustained till the day of judgment. This is the last and final deen. So Allah ta'ala has taken it upon himself to create such great personalities like the Sahaba Kiram, who lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understood the deen, saw the deen coming down, and thereafter they practiced it. So it is most reliable, firstly. Secondly, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and every characteristic is completely perfect. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the perfect model and the most choicest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down on the face of the earth. So Allah ta'ala has chosen a way of life for him that's completely perfect. There can be nothing imperfect, no deficiencies or shortcomings in any sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, we find that it is most comprehensive. A person can be in any phase of life, in any facet of life, can be a businessman, can be a husband to his wife, can be a father to his children, can be a teacher to his pupils, he can be a general in the army. In every facet of life, there's the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his lifestyle, that we should follow. So it is completely comprehensive and covers every aspect of life. No trader can stand up tomorrow and say, I did not know how to conduct business. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted business well. No general in the army can stand up and say, I did not know how to deal with the enemy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us what to do. Similarly, we find it is the most practical way. In each age and era, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is most practical. Whether we're living in this age, whether we were here 100 years ago, or whether we're here 1,000 years from today, the most practical way of life, of doing things, is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any aspect, whether it is buying and selling, whether it is conducting a wedding, whether it is a janazah, whatever, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most practical way of carrying it out. So what I wish to draw attention today is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one special trait and characteristic of his character was his forgiveness. His forgiveness and overlooking, and his kindness and compassion. Irrespective of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had met at the hands of the enemy, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ready to forgive. He was ready to forgive the most bitterest of enemies against Islam. Those people that led campaigns against the Muslims to exterminate the Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prepared to forgive them. Today, unfortunately, we find that many aspects of deen are alive in our community. People going for umrah, people going out in the path of Allah, people are bait to mashayikh, etc., which is all praiseworthy and necessary in our deen, all part and parcel of our deen. People are doing salat, some of them punctually in the first serve, some of them punctually with tahajjud, mashallah. These are all great aspects of deen. But there's one aspect of deen we find that is not found, or is becoming more rare in our community, and that is this aspect of forgiving. We find good people who outwardly are religious, pious, they know the deen, etc., but they hold grudges in their hearts against somebody for some reason. And those reasons are very, very petty. I am not talking to this person for the last 2 years because he did not invite me to his daughter's wedding. I had an altercation with this man, I am not talking to him. When he comes in front of me, I turn my face away. This is not regarded as something important here in the deen. Why? Because we feel we are doing out, we have restricted the understanding of deen towards ibadat and worshipping Allah and carrying out hajj and umrah and giving sadaqah. But definitely there are important components of deen. But this is just as important. Just as important is this. And that person that holds up good relationship with those that have good relationship with him, he is not a person that's maintaining relationship. لَيْسَ الْوَاسِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي. That person that returns the good feelings of somebody with good feelings and goodness, then he is not, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he is not a person that's maintaining good relationship. He is paying back. He is settling scores. And this has become the norm today, that we will invite him because he did not invite us. We'll invite him because he invited us. We won't invite him because he did not invite us. This has become like the norm today, that we should do like what they are doing.
ليس الواصل بالمكافي ولكن الواصل الذي قطع رحمه وصلها. That person whose relationship has been broken off and he maintains relationship, that is the one that is maintaining relationship. And this maintaining relationship and having mutual love for each other is so important. Together with the ibadat, it is very, very significant. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that you will not enter into paradise till you do not believe. And wala tu'minu hatta tahabbu. You will not have complete and perfect belief till you do not have mutual love for each other. You don't know the brother next to you, but he's a mu'min, he's a Muslim. You love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will bring about the perfection of your iman. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us a very simple perception. فَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not show you something that if you do it, this mutual love will be created between you. The mutual love and feelings of goodwill will be created in your hearts for each other. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salam amongst you. And the salam should be spread amongst who? عَلَىٰ مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. To those people we know and those people we do not know. It's easy to make salam to the person that you know. But the person that you do not know is a Muslim brother. He has the right over me and you that we make salam to him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, spread the salam amongst you, and this will bring about feelings of goodwill and muhabbat in your heart for each other. One hadith we understand, give hadiyah to each other, give gifts to each other, and this will bring about good feelings of goodwill in your heart. So having good feelings towards the Muslim brothers is part of our iman, something that will develop our iman. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, لا تقاطعوا ولا تدابروا ولا تباغزوا ولا تحاسروا وكونوا إخوانا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. That do not have hate, do not break off relationship with each other. Do not break off relationship with each other. And together with that, ولا تدابروا, do not turn away from each other. Normally what happens when there's malice and heart and dislike in the heart, then you turn your face away when you see the brother coming. And ولا تباغزوا, do not have any enmity in your heart for your Muslim brother. And وَلَا تَحَاسَرُوا, do not have enmity for him. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, be the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like brothers. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very, very comprehensive. One single small word, but it conveys such a sea of meaning, such a big volume of meaning. كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, be brothers, be slaves of Allah ta'ala like brothers. How do two brothers have? The amount of love, compassion, feeling, kindness they have, that is the amount we ought to have for our Muslim brothers. It is not permissible in one hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ala ukhbirukum bi afdal min darajati siyam wa salat siyam wa sawmi wa salat." Should I not tell you something that supersedes, that is more superior than namaz, more superior than sadaqah and charity, more superior than fasting? Islahu zatil bain, to maintain good mutual relationship with each other. With your brothers, with your family, with your neighbors, with your customers, with the people that you interact with, your musallis, have good mutual relationship. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Afzal min darajati siyami wa sadaqati wa salat." It is more superior than fasting, more superior than and namaz, and more superior than giving sadaqah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna fasad al-bayn hi al-halika." This not having good mutual relationship with each other, this is halika. And halika comes from the word halak, which means to shave off. And one riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I do not shave, it will shave off your hair, it will shave off your deen. If you have jealousy, rancor, hatred, malice in your heart for your Muslim brother, then it will shave off your deen. Shave off your deen. On one side you are carrying out ibadat, on one side you have this, this will become means of destroying the deen that you have. So we should reflect in our lives, if we have some person, some people that we do not talk to for some reason, then we should sit and try and think, what is the reason that we are not talking to these people? And it is not permissible, لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. It is not permissible for a Muslim to leave out his relation, to leave out relation, cut off relationship with his Muslim brother more than 3 days. Somebody writes, ثلاث ليالٍ, meaning 3 days or 3 nights, should not break off his relationship with a Muslim brother. Somebody writes, it's mentioned, if he does so, وَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ فَمَاتَ وَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ, and he passes away, he goes into the fire of Jahannam for cutting off his relationship with his Muslim brother. One riwayat is mentioned that that person that cuts off his relationship with his Muslim brother for 1 year, فَهُوَ كَسَفْكِ دَمِهِ, is like killing him. If I stop talking to my Muslim brother for some reason, then it's like I've killed that Muslim brother, I've taken his life. We find so many people in our society, as I mentioned, for petty reasons, they don't overlook, they don't forgive. They continue till the death, till time comes when you leave this dunya, and that grudge, that hatred, at rancor is in the heart right up to the time the man leaves this dunya. Let us look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the example of Makkah al-Mukarramah when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make hijrat. What was the condition there? We all know how the people from all the tribes that surrounded the Mubarak house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What torments and difficulty and persecution and hardship Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers had met at the hands of this kuffar. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anhu loses their life. Similarly, Ammar bin Yassar, etc., his family, how they had undergone difficulty and hardship at the hand of the kuffar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was compelled to migrate to Makkah to Madinah al-Munawwara. With what a sorrowful heart Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated, how he had turned out to the Baytullah and addressed the Baytullah. Details are too long. But yet when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah al-Mukarramah victoriously in the time of Fatih Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? For those very people who had tortured them, tormented them, had persecuted them and driven them out of Makkah Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. There is not even any reproach upon you today. Antum al-tulaqa, you are completely free. You are completely free today. One person shouted there, Al-yawm, yawm al-malhama. Today is the day of avenging this people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned him, No, al-yawm, yawm al-marhama. Today is the day of forgiveness, the day of mercy, the day of compassion, the day of kindness. So many people had just looked at the kindness of this conqueror, Muhammadur Rasulullah, marching into Makkah al-Mukarramah with such a forceful army. There's no murder, there's no bloodshed, there's nothing whatsoever. They had accepted the deen of Islam. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a supreme model, was rahmatul lil alameen. Irrespective of the difficulties and hardships he had met, he had forgiven the people. Similarly, we find the people of Taif. We know what had happened to Taif, the most difficult day in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? When he leaves Taif, Allah ta'ala sends an angel and tells him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you wish, we will command this angel to crush these people and destroy them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows his mercy and compassion and kindness for these people and does not accept this offer. Says, they do not bring hidayat, the progeny will accept Islam. And when the same Bani Saqif comes to Madinah al-Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entertains them in the Masjid al-Nabawi. The same people that driven Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entertains them in Madinah al-Munawwara in the Masjid. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relaxing and one person comes and takes out a sword and says, Who will save you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah. And that person is so overawed that sword falls from his hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes it and asks him, Who will save you? He is so overawed, he's so perplexed, he says, be the better person that is holding the sword. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. He wanted nothing less than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. Similarly, we find so many incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find a person like Abu Sufyan, who had led all the expeditions against Islam. When it comes to conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, as Umar radiallahu anhu requests Rasulullah, let me slay his neck. Let me take him away. Let me kill him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, No, there's amnesty for him if he enters his house. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. Washi, the person that mercilessly killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the person that was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read his janazah salat 70 times over. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shirked and cried at that occasion of the death of Hamza, the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. He was his uncle also, and he was his foster brother also. Then Washi comes and describes how he killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened and then tells him, تغيب نفسك عني. Go away from me. Do not come in my presence. I forgive you, but do not come in my presence, because when I see you, I think of that occasion how you had martyred my uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hind, who had chewed the liver of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives her. That person, Habbar bin Aswad, who had killed the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while she was pregnant, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives him. That person, Labid bin Asim, who had practiced witchcraft upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forgiven. So many people, Ikrama, the son of Abi Jahl, is going away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him towards Islam and had forgiven him. So each one you take there in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from whose side there was hostility, there was difficulty, there was hardship, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me and you are my ummati, these examples were before you. You stop talking to your uncle, to your brother, to your friend, to your neighbor, because of a petty argument, because of a little bit of wealth, because of a little bit of hostility, because they did not invite you. What answer do we have to give in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tomorrow that he forgiven the people that was the worst of enemies, but we could not forgive and overlook those people that did a little bit of wrong to us, or had an argument with us, or did not talk to us, or did something that was wrong to us, even if they outwardly oppressed us. Sometimes the people come up and say, Mawlana, this person, you don't know what he did. What did he do? Did he do something worse than what people did to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Definitely not. He was not out for your life. He did not take you out of your country. He did not kill your daughter. He did not practice witchcraft on you. He must have did something. After all, we are all human beings. We have feelings. Yes, he must have did something to you. But it is not permissible for you to cut off relationship with him for more than 3 days. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how much the mu'min is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That for any reason, yes, you could not have close relationship with him thereafter because you don't get along with him because of something he reminds you of. But don't cut off relationship with him. It's not permissible for you to cut off relationship with him. Why? Because when you do that, then your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is affected. It is mentioned that when the deeds are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every Monday and Thursday, those two people that have rancor, hatred and jealousy in their hearts for each other, their matters are left aside. Their matters are left aside, and especially on those virtuous nights, when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming down, Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Barat, etc., when there is general amnesty and forgiveness, these two people's matters are left aside till they do not reconcile. Till they do not reconcile among themselves. In fact, it is our duty not only to see that we have good relationship, to see that the Muslim Ummah has good relationship. It has become common today also when you hear that there was the altercation or argument between two people, turn our backs and we move away. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. When you see that there is, this relationship is not like how it ought to be, then bring about reconciliation between the Muslim brothers. Go up there and bring about a reconciliation, take away the difference. Yes, we can maybe not have very close relationship, but that does not mean we must have rancor, ill feeling in our hearts for those people that we had arguments with. No, put it behind our backs. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know the famous incident of Ishq. Ifq, when Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, the mother of the mu'mineen, when she was accused falsely, chaste woman like the Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, for whom Allah ta'ala sent down 10 verses of the Holy Quran to prove her chastity, when she was accused, some people also became victim of this, and one of them was Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, took an oath that I will not maintain him. He used to help him financially and materially. He took an oath that I will no more help Mistah, because he was also involved in this false accusation against Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down verses of the Holy Quran that those people of grace and those people that have wealth, etc., they should not take oaths that they won't maintain their relationship, and the muhajireen, the poor people. Why? فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا. They should overlook and they should forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. What an appealing sentence. They should do this. Why? Do they not love that Allah must forgive them? Do we not love that Allah must forgive me? Do I not love that Allah must forgive me? If I love that, then I must forgive my Muslim brother. I must overlook his faults. Whether he's my brother, whether he's my uncle, whether he's my neighbor, whoever he is, if he's done wrong to me, I must forgive him. And what does Abu Bakr Siddiq say? Wallah inni luhibbu an yaghfir Allah li. Wallah, I hope, I have love that Allah must forgive me. So in our forgiving our Muslim brothers, we are settling the scores with them here, and we are the better person. It comes in one riwayat, the better person is that person that goes up to this person and makes salam to him and tells him before it's too late that forgive me for what I've done wrong. And normally the person with the most hardest heart also, like a rock, when you ask him for forgiveness, not for the first time or second or third time, eventually and ultimately he will forgive you. So this is one aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam we find that is not present in the lives of many of us. Of many of us we find that we have some and some rancor, ill feeling, jealousy, hatred, menace, and we are not talking to so and so and so and so, yet we are carrying out everything else and think sometimes that this is not part of my ibadat. It's not necessary. It's not absolutely necessary so I should do this. No. The light of the ayat that I mentioned here, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, not only should we have good relationship, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسي. Whatever he likes for himself, whether it is the dunya, whether it is the deen, like how it should be dealt with, he cannot be a perfect mu'min till you do not have that same feelings for your Muslim brother. Feelings of peace, happiness, goodwill, good deen, etc., good health, wealth, etc., prosperity. We should have the same feelings for our Muslim brothers as well. And for petty reasons, obviously we feel bad. person accuses you, a person abuses you for some reason, a person does oppresses you for some reason, overlook it. Think of the oppression of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think of the abuse of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahir, oh majnoon, ma'azallah. What words were used against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's a madman. He's a soothsayer. Who? The greatest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives them and overlooks them and embraces them when they come into the fold of Islam. That's how so many of them had entered into the fold of Islam. That this is our treatment and this is our hostility towards Muhammad Rasulullah. But look at his rahmat, look at his mercy, look at his kindness, look at his compassion. So this is a great example for us in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of his life. We should do some introspection and see, when I'm in the business, do I conduct myself like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if my wife and children, do I conduct myself like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahlikum, wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best amongst you is the best, not the one that did the great amount of tahajjud. Yes, tahajjud has its merits, but the one that is best towards his family, best towards his wife and children, and I am the best towards my wife and children. So the supreme model of Rasulullah, this uswa-i hasana, not only restricted to our namaz or salat, alhamdulillah, many of us are very particular. Mona, what is the sunnah of namaz? Ihram, how do I wear it? MashaAllah, you ought to be particular, but do not restrict it to that aspect of our life. All the other aspects also, how do I deal with my wife and children? How do I deal with my customers? Sometimes you get reports of people who are outwardly pious, but you say, MashaAllah, the way this man talks to his staff, the way he treats his staff, subhanAllah, you'll be shocked and surprised. You won't say it is the same man that sits in the first saf. Why? Because he has not emulated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the true sense of the word. Some aspects we have, but the other aspects, especially of akhlaq, we do not have it. We do good towards those people that do good towards us. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Laysal waqil bil mukafi, laysal wasil bil mukafi." That person that pays back and settles the score, he's not the one that's maintaining relationship. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only said this, but he did it. Sil man qata'aka wa'fu amman zalamaka wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. It's very easy to say it. Allah Ta'ala give me first and all of us the tawfiq to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this aspect of his life as well. Sil man qata'aka, those people that break off relationship with you join up relationship with them. That person did not invite you, you invite him. That person that turns away, you go to him. That person doesn't want to speak to you, you speak to him. Sil man qata'aka wa'fu amman zalamaka. Somebody has oppressed you in some way or the other. Whether in his social living, whether he has respect you as far as your respect is concerned, he has oppressed you as far as your wealth is concerned, he has done you down somewhere. Wa'afu amman zalamaka. Forgive that person. Forgive him. Wa'ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. That person that has done evil to you, has harmed you in any manner whatsoever. Ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. Do good towards this person that has done evil towards you. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's Fatih Makkah, whether it's Taif, whether it's other occasions, those people that had did evil to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had forgiven, he had done good towards them. Those people that had broke off relationship, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had maintained relationship with them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forgiven those people, wa'afu amman, those people that had oppressed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had forgiven them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring alive the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our life. And let our hearts be clear. It's such a great virtue. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that a person is going to enter now, he will be from the inmates of Jannah. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu says that I became curious as to what is the reason for this person to be the inmate of Jannah. So he says, I went and lived with him for 3 days and I saw nothing extraordinary in his life. And in the end, I confessed to him my reason for coming to him. And he said, the reason is this, that when I go retire in bed at night, my heart is completely clear. I have no malice, no jealousy, no hatred, no rancor against anyone. He says, yes, this seems to be the quality by virtue of which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be the inmate of paradise. So it has such great virtue. Somebody has wronged us, let us forgive him in our hearts. In our hearts, it's the action of the heart, Allah knows and we know. And if we have done wrong to somebody, let's go up to him and settle the scores today before it comes to the day of judgment, and we shall stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to settle the scores with him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.